welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet, and I'm here in the studio with Patty Fink. Laurent is out today because the baby is sick. So he called us real early this morning and said he's not going to make it. He was sleeping all this morning because he was up all night. Our guest today is Abby Dees. Abby, are you there?
I am, finally.
And we can hear you on the air.
Thanks for being patient.
Oh, yes, and thank you for coming back. We had a little bit of technical trouble a few weeks ago, and it didn't work. So it did this time.
It didn't work on either of our ends.
I know, it didn't work on either of our ends. It was just one of those days, it just wasn't going to work, and oh well. So, Abby's book is a book called Queer Questions, Straight Talk, 108 Frank and Provocative Questions It's Okay to Ask Your Lesbian, Gay, or Bisexual Loved One. Abby, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us a little bit about how the book got going.
Well, the gist of the book, and you've got it there, and, you know, it's very small and kind of, you know, you can digest it in about an hour, is really just about, you know, doing something about the fact that I think a lot of people around LGBT issues or any issues having to do with identity, I think there's this feeling that we either have to be totally perfect and know all the lingo, or we're an ignoramus. And I think the reality is that we're all somewhere in the middle. And I wanted to give permission for people to be in the middle and to be in the process of learning and figuring stuff out. And I wanted to give people some space to talk about this stuff, have a sense of humor about it, and demystify our issues.
Now,
so that's kind of the emotional genesis of the book.
Now, one of the things that I was going to say, just to start this, I'm really glad that we're doing this week, actually, instead of a couple of weeks ago, because the whole point of your book fits right into the whole Tucson shooting theme. It's your book is about sitting down and having a conversation, people talking to each other, people getting to know each other better, and to stop demonizing each other. And that just seems to be the theme this week. So this is perfect for this week's show.
I'm happy to make that connection, but boy, I'm sad about the circumstances.
Oh, of course.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
You know, but yeah, the idea is that I think, of course, personally, I want everyone in the world to agree with me. But mm-hmm. I know that in 10 minutes of that, I'll be bored out of my mind. So rather than getting everyone to agree, especially around LGBT issues, I'd rather just have us understand where the other one's coming from. You may not agree with each other's philosophy, but at least we've got some common ground of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, that's my objective, is also to just get rid of a lot of the misinformation that's out there.
Sure. Now, the point of this book, it's the subtitle is 108 Frank and Provocative Questions. And so this is a book, I guess, that you give to your straight friend that you want to talk to you, or a straight person who has a gay friend picks up. And these are questions that are worded nicely, that it's okay to ask any gay, lesbian, bisexual person a question using this wording, right?
Well, with an asterisk.
Okay.
And that is that it's okay to ask, provided that you two have agreed to have this conversation. In other words, if I give this to my mom, I say, you know, Mom, you can ask me any question in this book. I don't really want just strangers asking me some of these questions, because mm-hmm. I haven't developed that trust for them. So I think, and I talk about this in the book and in the introduction and in the beginnings of each of the chapters, about sort of the context that you should have in mind before you have this conversation. So, for example, I have some questions in there that are stereotype questions that a lot of us have heard 1,000 times. You know, is one of you the man, is one of you the woman, is kind of the classic one. And I think we're all, well, not all of us, but I think a lot of us have heard that question and maybe are a little sick of it. But if the person, if you have a trusting relationship, or if you're starting from a place of love and affection with the person you're talking to, and you say, go ahead, ask me, I know you're thinking it, just ask me, and you give them the space to ask, then you can actually have a real conversation about, well, what does that mean, man and woman? You know, how many straight couples, for example, have a traditional male-female, you know, leave it to beaver kind of relationship? And so you can take that question that's kind of loaded and turn it into something really informative for both of you.
Well, I think it's a great tool for someone who's just come out to, say, family members. They could give them this book and say, whenever you're ready, if you have questions like these in this book, please, I hope you will ask me, and we can talk about it.
Do you know who else I just recommended the book to? You know, we have a new PFLAG chapter down in Brownsville, Texas, which is the very, very southern tip of Texas. The person who was organizing the PFLAG group down there, she and I were talking, and she asked me what resources I had. And I said, you know, I just picked up a great little book, and I explained it to her. She said, oh, that's wonderful. I have to get it. These are perfect for a PFLAG type group.
Thank you. Thank you for that pitch, because that's the sort of my fantasy when I was writing it. And I was thinking about PFLAG. I wasn't thinking about, you know, people who are just absolutely entrenched in hating gay people. I was thinking about people who were wanting to get closer to their loved ones, gay or straight, and needing a tool for doing that. And, you know, PFLAG is just like that.
Right, exactly. A few weeks ago, we had on as a guest Randy Potts. His grandfather is Oral Roberts, and he wasn't invited to the funeral, but he went anyway. And when his mother, who was giving the eulogy, saw him in the audience of 4,000 people from the pulpit, she started screaming at him. She's not the appropriate person to pick up this book and start a conversation.
I think the appropriate person is anybody, straight, gay, lesbian, bi, who wants to just get a little closer to their loved one, straight, lesbian, gay, or bi. And, you know, I just envisioned it as kind of an invitation to have this conversation, and also to say, you know, you may think you're the only person that had this question. Well, you're not, because, I mean, it was funny when I was collecting these questions. Almost, I would say about 50% of them came from people with this kind of proviso, well, I hope it's okay that I asked, and don't think I'm a freak for asking this. But the funny thing was is that I'd heard all of these questions before. And so I also want to, by putting them down on a piece of paper like this, say, you're not the only one. You're not a freak for having this question. Go ahead. You won't shock me. Mm-hmm. And then I also will point out that if you don't want to answer any of these questions, you don't have to answer them. And if you don't want to ask them, you don't have to ask them.
Now,
it's
one
really
thing I like
for
about
you to pick and choose.
One thing I like about it, the way the book is arranged, it goes from easy to hard. It starts with identity and coming out and stereotypes, and then it gets into marriage, which gets a little bit trickier, but then homophobia and politics and religion and then sex. The sex questions, actually, you don't want to start with those questions, and a lot of people don't ever want to talk about sex with their mother.
I put a little cautionary tale in there before the sex questions about talking to my mother. And this is just always be mindful that most of us probably don't want to get into the nitty-gritty of one another's private lives. So just, bear that in mind when you're talking to somebody. And the story was my mother kind of getting back into the dating scene. And, you know, I encouraged her, oh, we're both grown-ups. Come on, Mom, you can talk to me about this stuff. And she did, and it completely freaked me out. So, you can't put the cat back in the bag.
Do you know, I had the same experience when my father started dating again after my mother died. He had to tell me everything. I mean, he was like a kid in a candy store for a couple of years, and I was like dying just listening to him talk.
La, 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 la.
Oh, yeah. There did actually come a point where, after I'd said, Mom, really, we're both adults. I really want you to, have a, happy, full dating life. Come on, you can talk to me. I'm cool. And then there actually came a point where I said, all right, Mom, I'm done. Stop talking to me about this.
Well, one of the things I really love about
where your limits are.
One of the things I really love about this book are that most of the questions, some of them, you do give answers, but most of the questions are simply just put out there as questions, and the ones that where you do offer answers, they're just a sampling of maybe schools of thought about the topic.
I really wanted to get away from the idea that there was sort of a gay party line. because while there is in sort of political discussion, because it's kind of easier that way, among ourselves, we have all sorts of answers to these questions, and different, you know, everything from complete disagreement to a nuanced difference. And an example I often refer to is same-sex marriage. Well, you know, I think we all agree that there should be equality, and some of us, you know, aren't so convinced that marriage is the thing we should be pushing for. Some of us think that we should be pushing for something completely new.
You know,
we're already breaking the rules. Why are we going to something so traditional and old-fashioned? You know, that's a very lively debate that we have among ourselves, and I think I wanted to sort of give room for those different voices.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, an organization that I work with, the Dallas Gay and Lesbian Alliance, we've been doing training on GLBT issues in the Police Academy in Dallas and Dallas Fire and Rescue and other places, and we get these kinds of questions all the time, and we try to pose the answers in a way that is representative of our community. And if it's posed to us, say, you know, do you want to get married? And I say, well, yes, I want to get married, and I can only speak for me. But there are others in the community who want to get married. Others don't.
Mm-hmm.
And they think, you know, civil union's fine. They think domestic partnership's fine. They think no marriage is fine. And I think it's really important to express that, because even if you're talking with a parent, I think it's really important to not stereotype our own community that way.
And I think it's important to take some of the pressure off of each of us to be representative of our whole community. That's a big burden. And especially if you're coming out and you have doubts yourself, or if you have questions yourself, to create a space where it's okay for you to have your opinions. You're not speaking on behalf of the whole community. But hopefully, you know, if enough of us are speaking our particular truths — I sound very therapy-ish right now,
mm-hmm.
which isn't normally the way I talk — but, you know, hopefully that will create a much deeper understanding of who we are.
Mm-hmm. Right.
As a group.
And this, a perfect example here, this is a simple one. Why are so many lesbians handy with tools? Well,
I am one of those handy lesbians.
Right. And I'm okay with tools. It's not, you know, the thing. But my partner's great with tools. And I know people who, lesbians who would never touch a hammer.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know?
Yep. I'm always having to fix their computer.
You know, and I guess my answer to that is yes, and what's wrong with that?
Right.
You know, it's okay to be handy. To me, the answer — and see, I always get accused of one of my ex-partners used to say to me, "Do you have to answer every question with a question?" And my answer to that was, "Why? What do you mean?" So, one of my favorite questions in here is, "What do you like to do on a date?" I love that question, because the answer to it really says something about who you are. What do you like to do on a date? My answer is, well, I like to go to a movie and have dinner and go to a movie. But that's not my whole answer. The rest of my answer is, and what do you like to do on a date?
Right.
And that's exactly what this book is trying to do. It's trying to start a conversation. It's not to grill somebody. So what do you like to do on a date? And the answer to that would probably be, well, I like a dinner and a movie too. Aha, so we're more similar than we are different.
Yeah, and you know, that was one of those questions that was important to me to include, to really show that, I mean, I think a lot of the questions that people have kind of start from the real stereotyped place, or the homophobia place, or the really loaded questions that have maybe sort of a negative spin or a stereotypical spin. Mm-hmm. But it was very important to me to also make sure that there were questions in this book that weren't from that place. And maybe it didn't occur to people to ask, but when they see it written down, they'll go, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's your type?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Who do you like? What are you looking for? And, you know, the more sort of joyful, positive, common things. And exactly right. It's the sort of subtext in there is that our lives are every bit as complicated and happy and weird as straight people's lives, and that's really where the conversation is going to go.
Mm-hmm. There are also funny questions. This is my favorite funny question. Are there any real lesbians like the ones on the L Word? Now, where did that question...
Right in the middle of L.A., yeah. and now I've actually seen out in my neighborhood some of those women on the real L Word cast.
Uh-huh.
And, oh my gosh, yes, there really are. They're not like the people I know, but yes, they exist. I've seen them at Starbucks.
I think we've all seen them at Starbucks.
I'll bet you guys have some, too, in Dallas.
I bet we do. One of the difficult questions is one of your first ones. It's, do you ever wish you were straight?
Yeah.
And, I have the answer to that. My answer is no.
Right.
And I say it with disdain, but which isn't helpful in a conversation.
You know, I hear this a lot at the police academy, and we have a variety of people who present. And even among us, we don't answer the same way. I would say no. I always present it in the way as if there was a pill that could have made me straight, would I have taken it? And I would say no. Well, this would say definitely yes. I don't want to go through all... Why would I go through all of that torment as a child?
Mm-hmm. You know, when I was sort of choosing those questions, and these are questions that came in to me, questions I've heard, I thought it was important to put that question in. And it was a little painful almost to write it down
mm-hmm.
because... I knew that for me, you know, the answer is no. Yeah, if I had a pill, I would rather take a pill to be 10 years younger.
Mm-hmm.
that I'll take, you know, only with the wisdom I have now. But, you know that I've seen people struggle, and I know that there are people who are ambivalent about that question. And whatever your answer is, that question, I think, can open the door to a very meaningful conversation about what it means to be LGBT in this society. And whether, you know, I know some people would say, yes, I would take that pill so that I didn't have to endure the rejection of my family or my church.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it may be, but, you know, as far as me living in a free world, no, I love who I am. I just wish things were different.
Well, you know, you were talking about the more, the questions put in a different way, perhaps. I really love this one. Do you want to have kids? Because I think a lot of people assume that if you're gay, you want nothing to do with children.
Right.
And I think that's a really wonderful way to ask.
And our other co-host here, Laurent, he's not here today because his two-year-old
was sick all night
and kept him up all night. But that's a perfect example of that question, because you have it in here in another way, too. Does this mean I'm not going to have grandchildren?
Right.
Had his father been listening 10 years ago, because Danny and Laurent had discussed having kids on their first date, and they got married 10 years later, and then another year later they had Gabrielle. But Danny and Laurent are the perfect example of, if his father was listening, yes, he wanted kids, and yes, he would have been a grandparent and should have planned on it, and they could have had a relationship for 10 years earlier than that, because once they had the baby... Oh, his...
Grandpa's all over
it. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what's brought them back together.
He's all about that grandkid.
Yeah. I was going to say, we need to take a break. This is a good breaking point. We have so much to talk about in this book. It's a little book, but there's so much in it. The book is Queer Questions, Straight Talk by Abby Dees. Abby, stick with us. We'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
KNON.org is your destination on the World Wide Web for information about your favorite community radio station. Listen live to KNON from any computer, anywhere in the world, with our live internet broadcast stream. There's a program schedule so you can find out when your favorite shows are on, plus information on all of KNON's personalities and formats. Contact us, leave comments for your favorite DJs, read their blog posts, sign up to receive emails about KNON activities, learn about local music events, and be part of the thriving radio community. KNON.org has details on all of KNON's upcoming shows and benefits, and an easy and secure way to get your advance tickets online through PayPal. You can get any of our regular premiums online, or just show your support for KNON any day of the year by making a donation on the web to your favorite show at KNON.org.
Hi, I'm Ekta from Utah, Dallas, and you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM.
And this is Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet. I'm here in the studio with Patty Fink, and the book we're talking about today is Queer Questions.
This is Alex Hensel.
That player.
All of these over here are not doing well today.
Community radio equipment.
We have gremlins in your studio.
We do. It's not the phone this week. It's the CD players. The book we're talking about today is Queer Questions, Straight Talk, 108 Frank and Provocative Questions. It's Okay to Ask Your Lesbian, Gay, or Bisexual Loved One by Abby Dees. Abby is with us on the phone from California. Abby, you were about to say something when I cut you off for our break.
And because I have ADD, I have no idea what that was.
Ah, well, that's good. So Patty had something she was going to say.
So what has been the response you've been getting from the book? Has it been out long enough and you've gotten some months. Feedback?
And I'm actually really pleased with the response that I've gotten. I was actually worried that I would get a little criticism from the community because I included so many questions that were questions many of us are tired of hearing, and you know, the stereotype questions. And instead, what I got was people understanding that, well, folks still want to know, we still have to be a little more patient and answer those questions as meaningfully and maybe with a little humor as we can.
Well, and sometimes
that's my concern.
Well, I think sometimes
everyone got it.
Well, I think sometimes people have, you don't know what their reaction is going to be, but it may be the only conversation they ever have like this.
Yeah.
You know, for a lot of straight people.
Exactly. I was expecting people to say, oh, come on, where are the answers? And I got a little bit of that, but I think most people got that this is not your Wikipedia of all things gay, that this is something very user-friendly and designed to facilitate that conversation, number one, and number two, to give everyone some permission not to be perfect. And I think around these issues, and when we discuss any issues of minority groups, I think we all feel a lot of pressure to be perfect, not say something stupid, and so instead we clam up and we don't talk. And if we know that the person we're talking to is going to cut us a little slack, give us maybe an afternoon to say all the things we've been thinking but not sure we could ask. Mm-hmm. If we know that, then we can sort of move on and we can actually get a lot of information from each other. And I hope laugh at ourselves a little.
Sure. One of the questions, and you know, a lot of these are very serious, but some of them just are funny. Is it true that Subarus are lesbians' favorite cars? I love that question because the answer is no, some lesbians drive Priuses.
Yeah, or Volvos.
Or Volvos, right.
And I have had a Volvo and a Subaru. This could be an urban myth, and I need to go check this out. I need to go on scopes.com or something because I've heard people say that there was actually a study done and that Subarus really were the number one car owned by lesbians.
That would be interesting, and that someone would take that study on, I think, would be quite amazing.
Yeah, I have a doubt. Mm-hmm.
I love the quote on the back of the book from Kate Clinton. Who's a well-known and very much liked humorist in our society here. She says, finally, some real questions and answers in our ongoing national conversation about LGBT equality. This book is a public service. And I have to agree with her. I think this is.
Oh, thank you. And I got to tell you, when I first came out, Kate Clinton was kind of my beacon because she was, first of all, totally confounding the stereotype that lesbians have no sense of humor. And, she was speaking to me. She was speaking to all of us. When I came out, we were all very serious and in our support groups and everything else. And, you know, and I would sort of think quietly to myself, this is kind of funny. And Kate Clinton was giving a voice to that, and she really helped me come out. So years later, to have her give her stamp of approval, that meant everything to me.
And that's very nice. I bet if she heard that, she would really appreciate that, because she's that kind of a person.
Yeah. I sort of shoved the book when it was done in her hand at a fundraiser and kind of, you know, shook her hand and then scurried away because I was embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And again, what I like about these questions is I think a number of people want to ask these questions. They don't know how to ask them, and so here's a way to ask them. Here's one that I like that is something that I think a lot of straight people want to know, and they just don't know how to ask. What happens in gay bars, and can straight people go there?
And yeah, haven't we heard that in some form or another?
Yeah.
a thousand times.
I mean,
you get a drink.
You wait to get a drink, usually.
Yeah, you wait to get a drink. You pay too much for it. You spot somebody in the crowd that maybe you hope will come talk to you, but that doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep. You know, but people don't know. I mean, there's this image about what a gay bar is. It's a bar. But as soon as I saw that question, you know, with a lot of these, a story came to mind.
Yeah.
Of something, because that's usually how I answer a question. If I have a good answer, it's with a story. When I was in college, this was in the 70s, and the drinking age was 18, so we could go to bars. A group of us from my dorm wanted to go out dancing one night. It was a Saturday night. We wanted to go out dancing. One bar, I forgot what it was, another one, couldn't get to it somehow. I said, well, I know a place we can go dancing, but it's a gay bar. And everybody said, well, can we go? And I said, sure. So I brought, it was about 10 of us. I was the only gay person, but, you know, big deal. I mean, that's, in my school, it really wasn't a big deal. This was back in the 70s, and it wasn't. So 10 of us went, and it was so funny because a couple of the girls started dancing with each other. It was just natural because it was a gay bar. But then one of the guys came up to me and he said, would they get mad if I danced with my girlfriend? You know, but it was perfect. But that's what that brought to mind. What happens in gay bars? Same thing that happens in straight bars.
You have to yell to talk to people. You know, I don't know if you guys have smoking in bars still.
No more.
No. No, it's gone.
You know, that changes everything.
Yep.
Yeah, you come home smelling like smoke. Yeah, it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
What's cool when you talk about that is that one of the things that's been really interesting to me in response to this book is I've been talking to college students and some of the Lambda organizations and the alliances at colleges. And so, I mean, it's horrifying for me to realize that I'm talking to people that I could have given birth to.
Isn't it, though?
But their perception, you know, their perception of the community and their idea of, I mean, I'm so hopeful talking to them because, you know, for example, I talked to a woman yesterday who was the head of her campus's LGBT organization, and she was straight. And I just thought that was so wonderful that this new generation doesn't seem to be as concerned about, is it a gay bar? Is it a straight bar? You know, these lines are getting really fuzzy for them. And that, for me, is very hopeful. And it's sort of putting everything in its proper perspective. This really, when it comes down to it, is no big deal. And after we get through all of the sort of the political stuff and the all the religious stuff, we kind of come back to this essential truth is, as we know, we're all dealing with the same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that the book sort of teases that out.
Well, I think one of the most important questions that a straight person could read in this book and think about asking someone they know and care about who is gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender is, what's one thing I could do to support you to be an ally?
Yeah.
I think that's a great thought that they need to think about maybe. Maybe should take time to think about and decide whether that's something they want to ask.
That's my favorite question in the book because I think that, you know, as my mother said to me when I came out way back when, you know, it's fine, honey, I just don't want to be one of those P-flag moms.
Mm-hmm.
I actually said that at a P-flag group a couple weeks ago. You know, I knew what she meant. She just wasn't ready. At the time, I was annoyed when she said that. But now, with time, I get, all right, she wasn't ready. But what she was trying to signal to me is that she's trying. Mm-hmm. And so the one thing I can do can be everything from, like, the simplest thing, like, don't pretend I'm something I'm not with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that may be a huge leap for your loved one. And I would say if your loved one is ready to take that step, give them serious props for that. Or it may be, I want you to come to Congress with me.
Right.
You know, that's where I think the questions format is so helpful because you're basically saying, you know, what's the next step I think you can take? Mm-hmm. And here's the next step I'd love it if you took. And it could be as simple as Thanksgiving dinner or as big as, you know, federal government.
And here in Dallas, I know, you know, when PFLAG marches in the parade, people push through the barricades to go into the street to hug them. And
yeah.
yet I know several PFLAG parents who've said, you know, the one thing I can't do is march in a parade. But that's
right.
okay. They're, you know, it's not that they're, you don't have to do one thing to be supportive.
That's not the mark of a supportive parent, and that's not the only one. You know, it really may just be stop calling so-and-so, you know, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead, you know, she's my partner, she's my wife, she's my girlfriend, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It may be that. And I think that as much as we can all get very weary of people's resistance around this, I also know that just generally speaking as a community, it seems that every little effort, every little moment of bravery that our straight loved ones exhibit or take on, I mean, it always brings tears to our eyes,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it really can be the simplest thing, just if you take the next step.
Well, you know, one of the things I never even really thought about until I heard it, and it almost made me cry when I did, was we were visiting my older sister, who's been incredibly supportive from the get-go, never missed a beat. And in fact, I've taken her to Congress with me. But we were visiting for a big holiday, and lots of family was in, and she lives on a river and is retired, and, you know, lots of festivities and such. And someone called on the phone and asked, you know, what's going on, can I come over, or whatever. And she says, yeah. And they apparently asked, like, who was there. And she said, oh, my sister Patty and her partner Aaron, and, you know, so-and-so, and my husband, and all of this. And she never missed a beat. And I thought, you know, it really almost did make me cry, because it was, you know, here she was basically coming out as having a gay sister,
mm-hmm.
and never even hesitated.
You know, I love hearing that, and I think if I have advice for us, our community, is to make sure that we don't let those moments go by unnoticed. You know, that we, you know, not that we want to spend all our time, you know, thanking people for just behaving properly, but it matters to say, listen, when you say that, when you step up and you treat me fully equally, I'm just, I notice and thanks. It matters. It really means a lot.
And I did. It was a wonderful moment.
Well, but in my family,
yeah.
in your family, Patty, they wouldn't think twice about that. It's like, well, but you're my sister, you know. And to me, it would be like that. You know, you're just part of the family. But the real answer to that, I think, is, but most people don't treat their gay and lesbian relatives that
right.
way. Yeah, I want to go back a little bit again, talking about PFLAG families and asking questions and accepting. I was at a PFLAG meeting a number of years ago, and they break up into small groups just for people to discuss. And one mother was there. She was just distraught. Her son had come out over the weekend, and the PFLAG meeting was, I think, on Mondays. So she came to the PFLAG meeting, and she was distraught because she was worried she wasn't being supportive enough. Now, she had this information that he was gay. You know, it was his mother. I'm sure she probably knew on some level for a long time. But here it was Monday already, and she didn't feel like she was fully accepting. So, and I think part of that was pressure from her son. So I said, first of all, going to a PFLAG meeting is the most loving thing you could do. And
yeah.
second of all, if he's giving you any pressure, tell him, I said, back off. So, you know, you have to give the person who's asking these questions space.
Yeah. That reminds me of a conversation I had with my 98-year-old grandmother, who's about to be 99, a few months ago. I married my partner in 2008 in California when we could, and we had it at my grandmother and my mother lived in the same place, so we had it there so that my grandmother could participate. And it meant so much to me, of course, that my 98-year-old grandmother, who's, you know, lifelong Republican, you know, very conservative, loves me to death, but I wanted her there. And just a few months ago, I was in the car with her, and we started talking about this. And first thing she said was, you know, I'm worried. She was doing this personal inventory that she had not been supportive enough or enthusiastic enough at my wedding, and wondered if perhaps I'd married a man if she would have been. And then she was sort of worried that she was going to offend me by saying that. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, no, I gave her so much praise for doing that personal inventory and being brave enough to mention it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't notice that she was being anything other than completely accepting and wonderful at my wedding, and I assured her of that. And then she sort of expressed these other kind of doubts. She said, you know, I really don't, I'm not comfortable with the term lover, and I don't like the word lesbian. And, you know, she kind of did all these things. She said, I just don't like that. Is that okay if I don't use those words? And I said, you know, Grammy, you know, you're 98 years old. You can use whatever words you want. I just don't want you to treat me, to pretend that I'm something I'm not. And she said, well, oh, that's fair. And then she thought for a minute, and she says, I know what I'll call Tracy. I'll call her your sweetheart.
Aw, that's very sweet.
And I never saw that coming. And it was, and I thought, well, that is so completely honest. But it's also true to her and her generation. Mm-hmm. And recognizing that she has come a long way, considering she was born in, I don't know,
almost 99 years ago.
1912, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's, I thought, okay, that's what this book is about, is this kind of thing. I needed to back off a little bit and let my grandmother find her way, mm-hmm. and let her know that I appreciated and recognized her effort. And, you know, you don't get that a lot from a 98-year-old woman. But
so true.
Boy, that takes some guts.
But you need to put the words into context for the age of the person. When we started using the word lesbian again, because really in the 70s it was gay men, gay women, and then we started using lesbian again, and that
confuses us.
Yeah, it just wasn't that nice a word.
Right. It just doesn't roll quite so well.
Well, especially to older people who, you know, that word had some stigma to it. So the fact that she didn't love the word was okay, because from her generation...
I'm not going to jump on her.
No.
And what was the core thing? The core thing was I wanted her not to be ashamed of me. Mm-hmm. And that was all I asked. So however she needed to get there.
And I think a lot of people in our community, we may take a period of time to come to terms with ourselves and fully come out to ourselves, and then take that next step in coming out to other people around us. And of course, you know, until you've met all 6 billion people in the world, you keep coming out. But I think a lot of people in our community don't give the people around us that kind of patience for when we come out to them, and they need to process that in their own way, at whatever pace they choose.
That's especially true. Yeah, and I think that's true really for people who are newly out and young folks who, you know, have all that wonderful, you know, world-changing fervor.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes that doesn't allow for just patience. And I don't mean passive patience. I think, and in the book I talk about this, I think it's important to push a little bit. Always keep going for that next step. You know, if you're firmly in the closet, that you may have very good reasons for being there, but always test that closet door. But we can be very, you know, in our effort for equality now, which, of course, I think there's no reason that we can't have it right now, sometimes we forget the process.
We're talking to Abby Dees. Her book is Queer Questions, Straight Talk, 108 Frank and Provocative Questions It's Okay to Ask Your Lesbian, Gay, or Bisexual Loved One. Abby, stick with us. We need to take another break. We'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
The KNON Morning Line is your chance to be informed of national issues and take part in local events. Listen and call in Monday through Thursday starting at 7 a.m. You can find an open forum for your voice to be heard on the Voice of the People. KNON 89.3 FM.
Red Hot Blues presents the 12th annual KNON Blues Festival Saturday, January 29th and Sunday, January 30th at Poor David's Pub. It's the longest running blues festival in Dallas, and this year KNON features Buddy Whittington, Danny Freeman, Jason Elmore and Hoodoo Witch, LJ Echoes, The Soul Review with Lou Hampton, Bobby Patterson, and featuring Jackie Donlow, Holland K. Smith, Mike Morgan and the Crawl, Pete Barbeck, Cheryl Arena, Joel Foy, and the Blue Royale, The Bulldogs, Junior and the Journeymen featuring Kirby Kelly, Chris Watson, and more. Tickets are only $10 in advance and available at KNON.org, all Red Hot and Blue restaurants, Bill's Records, and Forever Young. The 12th Annual KNON Blues Festival, January 29th and 30th at Port David's Pub in Dallas. Doors open both days at 3 p.m. Sponsored by Red Hot and Blue, catering with a Southern accent.
This is Alex Hanselka, and you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM, Dallas.
And this is David Taffin, and I'm here in the studio with Patty Fink. Our book today is Queer Questions, Straight Talk, and the author is Abby Dees, and she's on the phone with us. Patty, you wanted to ask about one of the questions.
Yeah, one of them I think is a really important question to have a conversation about, and that is a straight person asks you, do you have to tell everyone, and do I have to tell everyone too? I think that's incredibly important because I think a lot of people, particularly if they've never had such a conversation with a GLBT person, feels like maybe we have this, you know, we feel compelled to do it, to come out to everybody all the time. And I think that's really important to put it in perspective.
Well, and that also goes to the idea that when you tell someone, and I think you touched on this earlier, when you tell someone, you've got the benefit of your entire process to get to that point of telling someone, but this might be new for them. And so the person you tell, if this is new, has their own coming out process to deal with. And so, you know, it's one of those things. It's important not to say, no, you don't have to tell anyone, let's all keep it a secret. I mean, again, that may be okay for a little while you're going to get your bearings. But, you know, the next response might be, no, you don't have to tell everyone. But let's start with your best friends. Let's see, what would you say to them? What do you think that they'll say back? Do you think they'll judge you? If you do, why? Let's talk about that. You know, I think that's an instant reaction that a lot of, especially our parents, have, is that, oh, you know, it's fine, just don't tell so-and-so, or I don't want to tell so-and-so. And I get that, mm-hmm. but that's an instant reaction based on not having a lot of experience with it.
And when we do talk about it with others, and they ask that question about why do you have to tell everybody, mm-hmm. I often say, well, I don't tell everybody. When it's relevant, when it comes up, I'm not going to lie.
You know? There came a time long time ago when I decided I was really sort of tired of announcing I was gay, and I just decided that I was going to live just as if it were completely a sort of social norm. Now, I don't always succeed at doing this, but I try. And I realized I haven't actually come out and told anyone that I was a lesbian in years. Mm-hmm. But I'm totally out.
Totally true. I mean, I don't censor my language about my partner. I don't.
Yes.
We're talking about what we did over the weekend. Aaron and I went and to Whole Foods and bought the store. You know, I mean,
right.
Whatever it is.
Right. You know, my partner grew up in Nashville. She just loves it. You know, or grew up in Michigan. Actually, she grew up in Michigan, but mm-hmm. lived in Nashville. She just loves it. You know, and that kind of thing. And I think that that's revolutionary for a lot of people because I don't think it occurs to them, if they haven't pondered this before, how easy that is mm-hmm. to just, I mean, it's hard and it's easy to just live your life out loud. You're not telling everybody, but the nature of living your life comfortably and normally means that people find out about who you're married to mm-hmm. and, you know, or who you're living with, or, you know, they learn this stuff because that's just part of human interaction.
And straight people do it all the time.
Yep, they do it all the time, and I think that's one of those things where the question really is designed, hopefully, to kind of turn the tables a little bit. Now, how is this different than how you live your life? When was the last time you told someone you were straight? You know, you really probably didn't.
I actually have a couple of other answers for that one. For a parent who's, well, do I have to tell everybody? my answer would be, you know, sometimes people are going to start asking you.
Yeah.
They probably won't ask me because it's an uncomfortable question to ask, but they might ask you. Now, you need to have some kind of an answer. Now, your answer might be, why don't you talk to him? He'd be happy to talk to you about it.
That's what my mom did.
It's a good answer, though. I think that's a very good answer.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to know so much, go right to the source. And she has a big mouth, and she's happy to talk to you.
I
want to talk a little bit.
I have to say, there have been times when I've intentionally told a gossip, but now that I think about it, I have told a few people just outright, oh, yes, I'm gay, just so that they can take care of it for me.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about some of the tougher questions in the book, like about religion.
Mm-hmm.
Those really are very touchy. They're different. The answers would be completely different in different religions. Do you believe that you can be gay and go to heaven? Now, my answer would be no, because we don't have a heaven in our religion.
Right.
But seriously, do you believe? And that's really going to and addressing core beliefs, which is two different things. First of all, a lot of people aren't comfortable about talking about being gay, but a lot of people aren't comfortable talking about religion.
Oh, yeah. That's a total powder keg of a chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that. But in my experience, I think religion is probably the biggest struggle for LGBT people. If they're going to have a struggle with their families and their communities, more often than not, it has to do with religious belief.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a lot of us in the LGBT community are too quick to just be critical of religion, to just say, well, get over it. If your religion doesn't like you, move on. Go find another church.
Mm-hmm.
And that's asking a lot. Some people, that is the way that they deal with it. But other people, and some very dear friends of mine, actually, are still struggling daily between who they know themselves to be as gay, lesbian, bi people, and also what they feel very much in their heart about their spiritual beliefs. And I just wanted to, at least, if you want to have that conversation, if you're willing to go there, here are the kinds of questions that people are dealing with and struggling with. And if nothing else, even if you don't talk about those questions, just having them there tells a lot about what people are struggling with on a daily basis, even if you are not asking these particular questions.
And I would submit that one of the questions that is present on more minds than we may think is this question about how can I support you and accept your partner into my home when it goes against everything I believe? Aren't you being disrespectful of me? I think that's an incredible struggle that LGBT people and the people around them struggle with all the time.
Mm-hmm. And I think that actually underlies a lot of the political stuff that's happening right now, or especially around same-sex marriage. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that in some way or another, that's the argument that a lot of people use to oppose same-sex marriage is, but what about my religious rights? I mean, as a civil rights attorney in my kind of former life, I have an answer for that, which is I don't think that they are mutually exclusive. You get to have both. But I think that's what people are feeling. That's where a lot of that fear of same-sex marriage comes from, is that sense that somehow their very deeply held religious beliefs are going to get run over.
Mm-hmm. I think a couple of these questions, the way I would do it, because I can be real manipulative, a couple of these questions are questions like, does this mean I'm not going to have grandchildren? How can I support you when it goes against what I believe? And I would turn that into, now, aren't you being very selfish? You want me to have a child that I don't want so that you can be a grandchild, a grandparent. Do you think that's a good way to raise a child? You want me to be something that God did not create me. God and you who raised me, you want me to be something else so that you can live this idealized, odd fantasy of what you think your life should be, and why can't you respect me?
Hey, you know, if you want to go there with this, more power to you.
You know, I can be very manipulative, but I also have very little patience for people who are so unsupportive. So it depends on how that question is asked.
I don't think there's any reason to just sit there. I mean, while I'm encouraging patience and friendly conversation, I have this visual of two people, you know, with sort of, you know, a fuzzy lens, you know, over them and, you know, two cups of coffee, talking very nicely about this stuff. I don't think there's any reason that we just need to sort of sit and listen to people's stuff that we totally disagree with. Mm-hmm. I mean, I expect some of this to get heated and emotional. I just hope that we can still keep our wits about us and keep going back to this fundamental idea of, okay, I love you, you love me, we respect each other. Let's really make that happen. We say we respect each other. Let's really see how that works on the ground.
And I would
go for it if you think that you can.
And I would suggest someone who's really going to be hitting a wall in this type of situation, how can I support you and accept your partner into my home when it goes against everything I believe? Maybe a starting point is to ask them, what would you feel most comfortable with? Maybe it's us staying at a hotel during Thanksgiving, but coming over during the day. You know, what are these things?
You know, some people, that would be intolerable.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
But for you, it might be a fine starting point.
Right, because I think a lot of people may have really no starting point, and how can they find one?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and we expect, and I know how easy it is, and I've certainly felt this, how easy it is to be so hurt by the actions of our dear loved ones, whereas someone who was a little bit more removed from us, we wouldn't be that hurt, you know. And we do, it's weird, like we cut one another slack when we're family in ways that we don't with other people. But in other ways, we do expect perfection. And
it's true.
You know, and if our parents have said the wrong thing, or if they have not sort of 100% embraced our partner at, you know, holiday dinner, that can sting so badly that you can't see beyond it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to say that that's the wrong reaction, because I've certainly felt that reaction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am wanting people to make that decision for themselves. But thinking about that question of how can I accept you into mm-hmm. my home, you know, when it goes against everything I believe in, and I put that in there thinking I really don't have an answer for this question that I think is, you know, in my own mind, an all-purpose answer. I talked to a very devout Southern Baptist friend of mine who just said, Jesus Christ would let you into his home. I mean, you know, she was just quick about this. You know, go look at the Bible. She used Scripture.
Well, and that probably is a much more Baptist answer, but it's not a good answer for other evangelicals at all.
No, it's not.
And my answer comes from my loudmouth East Coast Jewish upbringing, where I don't put up with garbage, and I do have a family that's fully accepting. Not just accepting, I mean, it's like, I always say, yeah, they're the crazy ones. You know, do they accept me? Ugh, do I accept them? They're all nuts.
And this is why I knew also I was in the situation of kind of selecting an array of questions that were going to touch on different people's religions, you know, with all of the religions in the world. I, you know, was trying to somehow or another in this chapter, it was, I think there might be 20 religion questions or fewer, to sort of touch on that was exactly right. That is the Baptist answer. That wasn't the first thing that came to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
My background being quite a bit different, I was sort of thinking, well, Miss Manners would say, you know, so that was my scripture.
Well, and I think a lot of people end up having to look at their own history, too. Do I stay with my parents when I go to visit them anyway? You know, do I want to stay with them?
Stay with my parents? You know, Holiday Inn Express, has that free breakfast?
Right. As a matter of fact, whenever I did go to Florida with a partner, we always stayed in a hotel. It was just easier. But that was my decision.
It wasn't him, your father, rejecting your partner.
No. This was me saying, I can't take your nonsense in the morning. So I like to sleep beyond 5 a.m. Some of the questions also, you know, they come at it from both sides in religion. So, like, what's the funniest thing you've heard someone say about gay people in religion? which not everybody will have an answer to that. But it's also not just putting the gay person on the spot. One of the questions, the one right above that one, is, have you ever felt rejected by your friends or members of your family because they thought you were a sinner? Now, that's one that's the flip side of that other question we were talking about. Have I done something that made you feel bad? And if that question's asked along with the other one, that, I think, is the basis for a real discussion.
I thank you for noticing that, because I really wanted to not put the burden solely on the gay person.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted this burden to be shared. And the burden's the wrong word, but I wanted this to be challenging for all of us. So it's not just question time with the gay person. It really is conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes both ways.
Mm-hmm. I really like this one, too. Have you ever gone to one of those gay churches? We've all heard that one, right?
Mm-hmm.
What on earth do they talk about? God?
Yeah.
And then your most difficult section, really, are the questions about sex. I would think that the introduction to this should be, if you feel like ripping out these pages before you give this to your mother, feel free.
Oh, well, that's a good idea. I'll do that in the next edition. I kind of, as much as say that, although I don't advocate the actual destruction of the book.
That's true.
Right, no perforations, right?
Yeah, I haven't done that, but I should think about that. User beware. I mean, as true for the whole book, which is, don't go farther than you're comfortable going. Don't ask the questions you don't want to hear the answers to, and don't answer the questions you don't want to answer. But for the sex question, really, most people would say that it's not good manners to talk about sex with your family members, and just generally not a good idea. But having said that, only you know for sure what you're comfortable doing. So,
you know, you could put a little dotted line along the pages into the spine, so, you know, all the way through the book, so they could just...
We thought about doing, like, sort of a black page before that chapter, you mm-hmm. know, kind of like, you know, going into the back of the store part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the sex chapter is... I got some pretty inappropriate questions sent to me about that, and so I also tried to make it to the extent that I could, as non-embarrassing yet also honest as I could. I was trying to sort of walk that line without just being downright prudish.
Mm-hmm.
Figuring that this was going to be going to various members of your family and that sort of thing.
We have 1 minute left. I want to mention the section on politics. Now, when I go home, last time I was home, I was in tears. I was like, this is the first time I've been the most conservative member of a group that I've been with in a long time. But that's not true with most families. But some of the questions are like, with all the other problems in the world right now, can't gay rights wait a bit? Is it really as important as things like poverty, global warming, and racism? And these are the things we talk about all the time. You know, how important is it? Well, it's very important because if I can't receive my partner's Social Security or health benefits or blah, 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 then, poverty, and look right here. Costs me twice as much to live as it does you. So how important? Very important. There are lots of answers to these things, but not everybody is going to answer that way. I mean, I think a lot of people would say, well, if you want to rate poverty and equality, well, yeah, I want to eat. So.
Yeah, I mean, and some people, I think some gay people are going to say that. I mean, I've had gay people say to me, listen, this year when I was doing my charitable giving at the end of the year, I had to make some choices, and mm-hmm. I decided that, you know, Haiti relief was, you know, much more important this year to me.
Right. And Abby, I want to thank you for being with us. We are completely out of time. The book is Queer Questions, Straight Talk, 108 Frank and Provocative Questions It's Okay to Ask Your Lesbian, Gay, or Bisexual Loved One. Abby, thank you very much for being with us. Next week we have Jack Evans, George Harris. They're celebrating their 50th anniversary this week, so that'll be a fun show.
Thank you, Abby.
Thank you.